Hi, welcome to Flip It and Rebuild It, the podcast for people who want to discover the keys to unlock their full potential and to build a strong foundation that will see you through even the most difficult storms of life. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Susan. And each of us has overcome challenges that could have destroyed us. Instead, we discovered the secrets to finding our own inner peace. And we're here with you today to share them with you.
Well, we had a conversation yesterday about depression. Because you were feeling pretty fed up. And yeah. That's what we thought we'd do today's podcast about.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're feeling better. This was
not planned. I don't have a single note. We just decided, you know what? This is a good thing to talk about right now. And so, yeah.
So how does depression affect you then? You're the best one to answer that question at the moment. How are you feeling at the moment?
You know, well, I feel a lot better today than I did yesterday. It's not something that happens to me very often. And it usually kind of sneaks up on me, which it did. But I kind of got to the point where, I mean, I knew I felt bad. I knew I was sad. I didn't know why. I was doing all sorts of things to try to make myself feel better. Art and watching movies and just hanging out with myself and taking hot baths and just like getting myself ice cream and little treats. And I was just doing all these little things that I thought would make me feel better. But really, nothing really helped. I just got feeling worse and worse until I became aware of where I was. Like I had a conversation. I realized something was wrong because I didn't want to do the things I loved to do. I didn't want to do the things that I needed to do. And I just wanted to like literally hide in my room. And I did for like a week. I hid in my room for a week. And I was like, something's wrong. Something's not right. And I started thinking about why I felt that way. And then I had that conversation with you. And I decided to kind of force myself to go out and do something fun. And it really was absolutely as awful as I thought it would be. I went to a music show and every song made me cry. Like, and I don't even know if they were that sad. but then at the end of the night, I sat down with my friend and I was just like, I think I'm depressed. This is why. This is how, everything that's going on. This is what I'm thinking. And I just, you know, talked it out and became super aware of where I was and why I felt that way. And, you know, like I've been dealing with a lot of things and we're trying really hard to make changes because I've known for a while I'm not happy with things and I want them to change. And I think I just kind of got to that point where I felt so discouraged, I lost my motivation.
Yeah, are you going to tell them about the way you went to go on stage and you opened your guitar case?
Oh, yeah. I was so distracted when I left the house. I picked up my guitar case. I put my music book in there, walked out the door, showed up, set my guitar down. And then later when it was time for me to go on stage, I walk up there, open up the case, and it's empty. I left my guitar sitting in the house. But I'm going to go back out and play.
It's kind of an important story though, because when we are feeling depressed, when we are feeling fed up or overwhelmed, we would normally know the weight of the guitar case. We'd normally be aware, and
yeah,
but when we're feeling like that, these things just
at one point during the evening, after the first few songs that made me want to cry, I just walked up to my friend and I was just like, my heart hurts.
Yeah. So you feel it in your heart then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've suffered from depression a lot. And I remember when I was losing my business and I went from, I'm a 6 foot tall guy. Okay, I'm in a wheelchair, I'm 4 foot now. But if I stood up, I'd be 6 foot. And I went down to just over 8 stone.
Yeah.
I wasn't eating. I couldn't face anything. The only time I was remotely slightly happy was the weekend when the banks weren't open because I didn't have to worry about the phone calls.
And oh, yeah.
the problem I found when I was feeling like that is I was just so in it. I thought it was permanent. I just thought I was that's me now. I suffer from depression. I went to the doctors. I got what do you call it? Antidepressants. I took them and they did help. I found they numbed all my feelings, so I didn't really know what, you know.
Oh yeah, but see, that's exactly why I think that's never the right. Okay, well, I'm not going to say never, but that's why I feel like that's not the right path for me to take. Because honestly, the only reason I got to that point in the first place was because I was trying to numb feelings. I was overwhelmed. I was stressed. I was unhappy. And I was trying to push it down and be strong and keep trying and keep fighting. And that's what got me depressed.
Yeah. Sometimes we do need that little bit of help though, because, you know, although it numbed my feelings, no, it enabled me to function and get sorted what I needed to get sorted.
And, yeah.
You know, I was on them for about 12 months, and I would recommend someone, if you're feeling that depressed and you're feeling that overwhelmed, yeah, and you're really finding it hard to cope, then I would go to the doctor and listen to what they have to say. And if they recommend taking something like that, do it.
Yeah.
And we're all different and we all cope with it differently.
But
the one thing we do try to do is we just don't want to reach out for help.
And if that's the only help that you can reach out for, like, you know, and that's the thing, like, I felt better after I reached out for help. Because before that, I didn't want anyone to see my pain. After I reached out for help, I was able to process things and think about things and verbalize things and cry and be sad and get my feelings out. And now today I'm making progress with a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, a week ago I thought it was impossible. So for me, it's kind of a matter of realizing, oh, this is where I am. Okay. This is why I needed to be here. Okay. This is how I'm going to get out of it. And, facing it, just facing it.
Problem is, so many people find it hard to face it, or they're embarrassed by the depression, or you take middle-aged men.
Yeah, I'm sure it's even harder for men.
Well, we grow up in this society of the I was going to say stiff upper lip, I think that's a British thing, but it's very much, you know, man up, don't cry.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do any of those things, and a man very much feels like they need to be the strong one. They need to be the foundation for the family. They need to be the person that looks out for them, the person. And to go to their partner or a family member and say, you know, I'm not coping. And not only am I not coping, I'm so not coping that I don't know what to do. For a bloke to say, I don't know what to do, I haven't got a solution to this, I am really suffering. Yeah. It's just, you know, the worst.
See, I can totally relate to that, because I might not be a guy, but I have been on my own since the day I turned 18. I am, like, you know, I take care of Bella full time, 24/7. I'm her world, and she depends on me. And I've always felt like I was on my own, and I've got to be strong. It is always super hard for me to reach out, but since I've started doing that, and it takes me a while to realize that's what I need to do, but since I've started doing that, like, it's helped tremendously. And it's not like I'm going out on Facebook and be like, hey world, I'm depressed. You know, I reached out to a couple of people that I really trusted and talked to them.
Yeah. And the other important part with friends is to not jump in and try to fix it. Give your friends some space to be themselves, to be honest and say, hey, look, I'm really not coping. But you don't have to fix them. They're not broken. It's just things are too much for them at the moment, and they want to share a little bit. They want that little bit of space. But we do lock ourselves away. We don't like the feeling. No, that's all right. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I was saying, ultimately, you know, we can't, as much as we want to help them, really just listening is helping. If we try to fix them, it's not going to work, because they have to figure out what's wrong. They have to figure out what matters to them. They have to figure out what their priorities are. They have to figure out what they're unhappy about, what they want to change. Like, it's totally up to them. We can help them be aware, you know, say, hey, you doing okay? I'm worried about you. We can be there to listen. But like, that's the thing. I didn't feel better until I decided, I don't like feeling like this. I don't want to feel this way. I want to be better. And then slowly, I'm not my normal self by any means still, but I feel so much better today than I did yesterday. So,
yeah, I find it difficult because I'm a fixer. I want to fix it. I don't like seeing anybody in pain. I find it really hard not to fix. And it's the same as if you're in a relationship or if it's your child that's feeling depressed or, I keep saying feeling depressed and not that is depressed. And I'll differentiate the difference shortly because there's a massive difference. Is recognizing
there is a massive difference, yes.
But sometimes we go to our partner, we go to other ones, and they're frustrated with you. They're frustrated with the situation because they don't like seeing you in pain and they might not know the answers. Or they might feel they know the answers and you're not listening to them. It's remembering that nobody really knows how to deal with someone else's feeling of depression. No one really does know. Even the counselors, even the doctors and all that, they can only guess and try to help.
Oh, yeah.
And so we go to the people we love and we get frustrated because they try to fix us. They try to tell us what we should and shouldn't be doing. But equally, it's frustrating for them because they don't want to see you down depressed. They don't want to see you
feeling
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the difference between being depressed and feeling of depressed is one's a visitor and one's who you are. You know, I am a human. I can't do nothing about that. You know, from the day I was born to the day I'm gone, I will be human. You know, that isn't something that I'm sometimes. But sometimes I'm depressed. Sometimes I'm lonely. Sometimes I'm really happy. Sometimes I'm really awesome. No, I'm always awesome. That's different. But it's a visit. It's a feeling that comes and goes. It's when we say to ourselves, I am depressed or I am lonely. That's when it becomes who we are. And then we live up to that.
Yeah, and actually that very reason right there is why I've been hesitant to even use that word, because I'm not depressed. I know how I feel is temporary. I know it'll get better. I know that I feel like it's gotten that far out of control that I feel depressed. And
so okay, let's look at you, right? You're single at the moment, you've got a beautiful daughter, you've got a house, you got food, you know, I know you're struggling with your bills and things like that. And then you look at me on the outside, I'm paralyzed, I can't move, and my hands are paralyzed. I've got all the other problems with it. Yet I'm sitting here not feeling depressed, I'm feeling happy. Yet you're sitting there at the moment, you're struggling with different things. And the reason why I point that out, not to like single you out and say that, why the hell are you feeling like that, Susan, in your life? You've got nothing to feel depressed about.
Oh, gosh.
It's because we see on the outside and we judge people based on what we think should make them depressed or not.
Right,
and the reality is we don't know other people's stories.
Oh, right. I mean, like, the last 6 months has been, longer than that, probably the last 10 months has been nothing but a constant state of stress and chaos and things going wrong and just having to deal with crazy things. And there have been a lot of times where I haven't had food. It's been really bad. But I've been working on it. It's getting better. And then I hit the holidays and that was a big part of it for me because I've had a lot of people die on my birthday, which I just had. And then my grandma, who was the most important person in the world to me, We buried her the day after Thanksgiving, and she was the thing that made it special for me. She would make, I didn't like Thanksgiving food, so she would make just for me homemade chicken and noodles and mashed potatoes every Thanksgiving. And so that was like hard being by myself on Thanksgiving. And then like Christmas, I don't even know what to say about Christmas. I'm not looking forward to Christmas. I'm dreading Christmas. It's, you know, I loved Christmas when I didn't have to worry about paying the rent and putting food on the table and stuff like that. Now it's just like,
yeah,
you know, it's hard. I want to be like happy for other people to enjoy it, but at the same time, it's super depressing to be reminded of how wonderful everyone's Christmas is, you know? So
what comes to my mind when I hear you talking there is how much it's all the little things that stack up. You know, we don't get to this point by suddenly something going wrong. That's just a bad day. Right. That's just an annoyance. We get to this point by all the little things that stack up. And then someone comes along and goes, well, it's only this, it's only that. Yeah, but when they all stack up, when you're carrying everything, it becomes heavy. It becomes too much for us.
It does. Yeah.
And that's what it is at the end of the day. It's an accumulation of problems. It's not just one little problem or one big problem.
Yeah, because it's been a lot of different things. And I think at the end of the day, I was just tired of being strong.
Tired of being strong. That's a pretty big, a big admission. I think everybody can relate to that, tired of being strong.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure everybody can. Yeah.
And so some of the things to remember when we're feeling like this is you're allowed to feel depressed. You're allowed to feel like life sucks sometimes, and you're allowed to bawl your eyes out. You came online and we had a chat and you cried.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I've seen you cry.
yeah.
I think it's the first time anyway. And
probably. I don't do it very often, but I did it many, many times yesterday.
Yeah. And it's okay to cry.
And I feel better.
Yeah. Well, we have. We've evolved the ability to cry for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
It is a release in some way. It's a release of whether it's chemicals in the body or whatever. I'm, you know, not no biologist, but I'm sure it has a purpose in shifting how we're feeling, because how we're feeling is chemicals. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not to go into that because I don't really know much about it. But we cry for a reason, so do it.
Yeah.
And then, see, between the age of 35 and 45 is a huge for male suicide.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the same in the States, but in the UK, it's almost twice as many males commit suicide between that age than females.
Yeah.
And it's really poignant at the moment. And we've done a few things over here to try to bring that to the spotlight because it's not normally spoke about.
Yeah,
we hear about it when teenagers do it. We hear about it when younger children do it and things like that. But we don't hear about it with males in their mid-30s, 40s. And that feeling of I can't speak for them, obviously, but that feeling of fed up with being strong.
Yeah.
I can no longer hold everything together. I'm a failure. And they cannot cry and they cannot go to everyone. You imagine for like you or someone like that, for a partner, a male partner, going to their wife and saying, can't do this anymore. I'm not strong enough to hold the family together.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. That's exactly how I felt. I felt like I was failing at life.
Failing at holding it all together. And we do have to be strong for other people. Well, we feel we have to be. But the irony is, strength also comes in the tears and admitting that we can't cope. Strength comes in, hey, I need help. There's a massive amount of strength and courage in that sentence alone.
Yeah, I agree.
So what advice would you have for people out there?
Speaking as someone who is like has a very, very difficult time doing that.
So I'm sure we're going to revisit this because, you know, it doesn't just, although I say as a visitor, it doesn't just come and go that quickly.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. This was going to, I was already working on some big changes. This is totally going to catapult me forward with my changes.
So what advice would you have for the people out there? People out there that, you know, they're struggling to hold it together because it's just, it's got to the stage, just one more thing is going to push them over the edge. What advice have you got for them?
As far as like kind of feeling better and getting your motivation back, my advice would be to just really focus on trying to become aware of how you're feeling, where you are, what's making you unhappy, so you can really look at what things can I change? Because I, it's like you told me, like, what's going to happen if I just sit and hide in my room? Well, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. And so for me, you know, finding my motivation to move forward again, is going to make a difference. I haven't failed at life. Yeah. I've just not been successful at the things I've tried.
And as you've said to me many times, we're our own worst critic and we're so hard on ourselves. You know, we're only human and we have all of these feelings. You know, it's okay to struggle. So it's okay to, you know, lock yourself in the room, bawl your eyes out, but at some point in that pain, get some help. Just phone a friend and just say, hey, can you just listen to me and not talk, just listen. And this is what's going on. And I think that makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So for everybody out there, if you want to support our podcast, head over to flipitandrebuildit.com. You can head over to Patreon and you can see a video of us, this podcast. We record every podcast via video as well. So you can see our beautiful faces.
Beautiful, smiling, happy faces.
And you can support us, keep us going. You know, we're after like new mics and new things. Well, I'm not. I got a nice mic. But Susan's still using a mic on her laptop and we struggle with audio every single week. And that's part of the reason we don't push out podcasts because they're a lot of work and a lot of editing just to get them to sound reasonable. So if you could support us, that'd be awesome. Any last words from you?
No, I just, I would add to that, just, you know, like, we, you know, we're doing the best we can with the equipment that we have and the resources that we have and everything's coming out of our pocket to put into this and our own personal time away from other things that we try to do to earn money to pay the bills. And so, yeah, we want to do more. We want to, you know, have better quality. We want to be able to devote more time to it. So you can even just support us for like $1 a month and get access to our behind the scenes, which sometimes are kind of funny because there's a lot of uncut
funny for
stuff.
The viewers. Funny for the viewers.
Yeah.
But we love doing what we do. And on a note, go and get help if you're feeling like life's burying you at the moment. You know, the mountains are there to climb, not carry.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to just sit down in a nice, dark, quiet room with some sad music on and just let yourself cry. And don't hesitate to reach out to just one person that you trust.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.